He said, I've never been in church. I don't know how to do this, what y'all are doing. I don't know how to bend down. I don't know how to bow. I don't even know what that is. You know what I thought when this come out of my mouth? I said, thank God. That's refreshing. That's refreshing. Somebody who don't have a clue, they just want Jesus. They don't have to go through all the, how do I say this and how to do that? Do I have to bend down? Do I have to get up? Do I have to do this? You know what you have to do? You have to come to the end of yourself and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I've been a sinner and I've been living like one and I want to be saved and I want you to be the Lord of my life. That's what you got to do. And you can do it standing up. You can do it walking, running, crawling. You can do it any way you want to. That's fact. But you know what Jesus really likes, though? Is when you fall apart on him. He likes it because you know what? It says, I've come to the end of myself. And you can do that standing up. The boy stood there and said, my back hurts. I can't bend. You're as bent as you can gonna be right now. I can see it. Hey, man, are we good? We're not having that. We're not having those spiritual highs because we've done something. We've tapped in. We've gotten so spiritual around here. That ain't the case. What it is we've leaned in and said, God, here we are. Put a microscope on us. Proverbs 29. Look at us. We'll look at ourselves and we'll fix. Write this down. Make a note. We'll fix. Golly, I'm so stupid sometimes. God, I'll let you fix me. God, I'll let you fix me. Is there anybody in here having a hard time letting God fix you? Have you gotten to a place in your walk with Christ that you just can't be fixed no more? There's an altar for that too. Sometimes we have to have God run a plow over our hardened heart. Did you know that? We can get to a place in Christianity that we think we've got everything set up the way it's supposed to be and we can't let God do anything new. Man, let him run a plow over your heart again. When's the last time you wept before him? When's the last time you shared your testimony? When's the last time you just said, God, it's just good to be around God? Man, this week, I'm going to ruin it for myself. I'm going to ruin it. No, I've not preached. No, I've not got in the verses. I knew this was going to get out of hand when we started worshiping. For two straight weeks, I've said this. I don't have a major problem at the church. Golly, the devil's setting up a tent at my house right now. He's driving the stakes down going, I'm ready to camp. You know what? Praise God for that little brief time. Thank God for 2 weeks with no nonsense. Thank God for 2 weeks of somebody showing up saying, oh, I just wait. Oh, man, this is going to happen. So-and-so. You know, can I help? Can I be a part? Can I do this? Can I do that? I see people over here pulling up in the driveway, and I'm thinking, what's going on over there? They're just working on the playground. Nobody asked them to. Nobody told them to. That's just God. Man, I'm telling you, somebody drives by here every day now, walks in there and says, preacher, I just love you. I just want to come by and see you. I love you. I want to get out of your way. I'm sitting there going, man, this is pretty sweet. Is it always going to continue that way? I don't know. But I'll praise God for the 2 weeks it has happened. I sit around every once in a while and build a pity party. There's only like one person in attendance. Me and him sit around and drink coffee together. Me and me. But I'm glad when it's good. Amen. Y'all ready to get in the Word? These are going to be bullet points. It's going to be laundry list. All you men, when I say that, you should say amen. No, let's twitch that. Laundry list. I don't know anything about a laundry list. I do some laundry. Here's how the laundry goes when Kevin does it. She's not here. If one of you tell, I'll know who it is. I know who it is. Here's my laundry. I go in there and I dump it all in. You know, when I'm tired, I'm all right, I need some clean stuff. Now, she does wonderful, but sometimes, you know, I just get ahead of her. I dump it all in there. I put as much soap in there. I can get in there. I shut the thing, and I can hear it, man. It's in there working. That old agitator in there is going double time because I've got it double loaded. Then I've got them from the washer to the dryer. Then I usually forget that they're in the dryer, and they're in there for 3 days holding everybody else up. And here's Melissa every time. You been doing laundry? I said, yeah. How do you know? Well, because it's been 4 days, and it's not done. I took that mess you call laundry and I piled it up over at the end of the dryer. If you want to do the rest of it, you can. Amen. Let's get back to what it is. Grocery list. That's my wheelhouse. That's where I live. That's grocery list. Let's do the grocery list. Men, here's a grocery list. My wife has to write it down, send it by text, and send out a pigeon. And I still leave one item out every time, no matter what. Amen. But you get that list, and that helps me because I can go, every time I'm Charlie, I'm 5 minutes in, I've got two items, and I'm looking at the list like it's the answers to the doggone biology test in high school. I'm like, what's next? I've made 77 rounds in the Walmart because I don't know where nothing is. But I got my list. And that helps me. I'm gonna help some of you guys out here tonight. It's just a list. And you know what? It's from the wisest man that's ever lived. So if we're parents in here, and we're in authority, because that's the main theme tonight is authority. Put yourself under some authority. If you are under authority, and it's good authority, submit to it. And that's all the lesson is. We're going to give you a laundry list. If you can't stick by this, you can't do anything about it. It's simple stuff. Verse 17, it says, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. This is a Johnny Hughes point. I hate giving him credit, but he's not here either. He's farming. This is his high season for farming. But he's got one of the most wonderful sayings. His wife's sitting back there. She'll tell him. Don't tell him I gave him credit. He says, you be their parent before they're 18 years old. And then they can be your friend after that. Every time it says it, I love it. Because some of y'all got that backwards. You're trying to be their buddy. You're trying to be their friend. You're trying to be their pal. And you're not giving them any structure, any rules, and any guidance, and especially any correction. And they need correction. I know the girls do. I know they do. But I don't know much about girls, but I do know boys. They need big old bold lines in the sand. And if you ain't drawing them, they're crossing them. And if you ain't drawing them, they'll keep crossing them. And one day, they're going to tear your heart out and leave it on a platter because you wouldn't do it before they was 18. And some of you sitting here tonight, well, how do I get started, brother? Tonight, tomorrow. You get up and you say, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And you no longer can do this, this, or this. And if you do it, there will be a swift and earnest punishment behind it. And I hope you ain't sitting there going, oh man, I wonder how I'm going to pull this off. I'm talking to you, Dad. I'm talking to you, Mom. You know you need to go over and say, Dad, bow up on them. I'm good, Lord. I'm going to preach right here. I'm going to be the judge, and you're going to be the jailer. Good God. Somebody say amen. I'm going to be the judge. I'm going to pass sentence. And I'm sending them down there to Rikers. And you're the head jailer. Your wife ain't supposed to be punishing and correcting your kids. It's supposed to be the daddy. She's supposed to be able to do this right here. Hey, honey, I told him. And daddy's supposed to say, ch-ch-ch. The executioner's in town. The gallows are being built. You can get in line or you can get swung up. Amen? Good Lord. Y'all better help me. I'm gonna be ignorant tonight, ain't I? Some of y'all are sitting here going right now, but we're not punishing like that. We're not correcting like that. Well, guess what? This is the wisest man on earth that's in the Bible. He says, correct your son. Correct him now where you can have a friend later. If you'll correct them and show them boundaries and show them rules and hold the line now, when they're 25, 30 years old, they'll come around and they'll be a blessing to you. They'll be a friend to you. Let me give you a better word. They'll be a confidant to you. A confidant. Every time I do this, I'm winning. My son is beginning to be one of the greatest men in my life. 19 years old, and I can sit down with him over a glass of water or a cup of coffee, and we can talk about the Lord and talk about Scripture and talk about things, and he is beginning to be a confidant. But he had a daddy before he got dad. He had a daddy before that. My job wasn't to be his friend. My job was to say, hey, this is the line. Don't cross it. Amen? Some of y'all are sitting here tonight. Some of you, I was looking when the youth walked in. I was like, man, wrong night. Sorry. Should have loaded them up and got them back across the street now. Because some of them sitting around here, I hope mom and daddy ain't taking notes tonight. Well, I hope they are. You know why? Because we don't need another generation of kids that are running their own life and running their own show. We need a group of kids that are going to love Jesus and change this world. We need somebody to come alongside of us that are about 16, 17 years old and love Jesus bigger than we do. We don't need another youth group that's full of cliques and friends, and we sit around and we talk about the newest thing and this and the other. We need a bunch of people who will say, if all hell's coming against you at school, here's where you can come and get help from me and God. We need a bunch of youth that'll say, we'll surround each other. We might not get along everywhere, but we'll get together in here and we'll pursue heaven and we'll love each other, and the gates of hell will not prevail against this place. And we need to do that as a church too. How many verses are we in? One. I said it's going to be a bullet point after bullet point, and we're going to get them all in there. And we've been in here 25, 30 minutes. We got one verse in. Y'all need to find somebody that can do better than that. My goodness. Verse 18. Well, I'm gonna lose it here too. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I wrestled with that. I'm like, man, what is that? We just got to give a vision to the church. I just got to catch the vision. And y'all just got to follow it, and then we won't perish, right? Is that it? It's deeper than that. You know what? You need a pastor. You need a preacher. You need somebody who's going to take this word, preach it to your heart and your mind, and you adjust to it, and you hear it, and you follow it. Amen? Not because of who I am, but because of who he is. Amen? Listen to this. Every good church has a pastor, and they're there and they're established, and guess what? They're stable, and the people of God are hooked to that leadership, and they say, we know where we're going, we know what we're doing, we know what we're about, and we don't just walk around and flop around and do everything we want to do. We are following the Word of God because we have somebody who's teaching the Word of God and giving it to us, and we know where we're going. The problem the world is struggling with right now is we got people out there who are saying stuff like, well, we can just be on our own. We can just do it on our own. Well, I hate to tell you, friend, the weirdest person you can have for a leader is yourself sometimes. I'll just wait for that one to sink in. Because I've been my own pastor before. I've said that before. We don't have to go, this church ain't good and that church ain't good. I know what we'll do. I'll just do sitting right here. You know what that becomes? A disaster. You know what? You ain't getting no help. Your spouse ain't getting no help. Your children ain't getting no help. And you're sitting there rotting away. Golly, let me go ahead and preach it the way it needs to be preached. All of a sudden, you are skimping and skipping on the Word of God and everything else. And next thing you know, Dr. Phil is your leader. Amen, preacher. That's good preaching. You have forgotten. Well, we'll just eat, and then we'll just do this, and then we'll just ride down here, and then we'll do this, and we'll fix the porch, and we'll do this, and we'll do the plumbing. And next thing you know, God is obsolete and gone. And everybody in your house is in disarray. I learned this a couple of weeks ago. The devil don't want you here. As your pastor, I'm going to tell you this. Some of you are brand new. Some of y'all been here a year, year and a half, and I mean, you love it. You're in this thing. You're weighted off in this thing, and you're in it with us. You're in the thick of it. Guess what? One day you're going to get hurt. You're going to get your feelings hurt. You're going to get mad. You're going to get upset. You better start making up your mind what you're going to do then. Amen? Because I know what the devil will do to you. He'll tell you, you know what you need to do? You know what you need to say? Just like I say about my wife. We've been married about 22 years now. You know what I told her one day? I said, you know what? I'm going to get mad at you, and you're going to get mad at me, but I ain't never going to quit you. I ain't never going nowhere. I might get mad. I might pitch a fit. I might drive down the driveway. But guess what? In a few minutes, I'm coming back. I've sat there and told my kids a million times over. Every time I've told them this, hey, I ain't going nowhere. You're going to get sick and tired of it because I ain't going nowhere. Guess what? I ain't leaving this church until God says go. You need to make up your mind. I'm going to stay here as long as we're biblical, as long as we're doing what God tells me to do, and as long as God has you here, you need to say, I'm hooking up with you, and I'm going. I'm going to pull with everybody else. Are y'all ready for another word right there? Be effective while you're here. Some of us need to do a little inventory and find out if we're just hanging out at the house of God or we're being effective. Here's two things you can do when you're here at the church. Let God change you. And if you're in that process, praise God, I love that process. If you're sitting in here and you go, man, I came to the hospital and I need surgery. I need God to work on me from the toes up. Praise God. Sit in here, get fed, get fixed, get healed, get wrapped. But after a while, then say, God, I think I'm good enough. I'm ready to get to work. So get healed, get well. But then all of a sudden, you talk to God and say, God, you let me be an influence on somebody here. I'm about to ask you a real tough question. And I ain't going to answer it for you. You answer it. When's the last time you affected somebody in your church ministry? I'm talking about when's the last time you took somebody in this church and you said, that's my ministry. That boy, that girl, that teenager, that college age person, that adult, that senior citizen, that's my ministry. I will minister to them. I believe a lot of times we're coming and going in this church world and we're not taking it serious enough because God all the time pushes people past us. He'll push them past you in the kitchen, in the gym, in your Awana class, in your Sunday school class, in this sanctuary, in worship, in singing. And you know what? He'll give you a glimpse. And what you've got to do is have a burden. Because we're not put on this earth just to bide time until the Lord comes back. We're supposed to be gospel sharers of the word. We should be at some time in our life, we should be hated by the enemy, and people should be saying, you changed my life. You took the time. You stopped and slowed down and prayed for me. You stopped and slowed down and spoke a word into me. Some of y'all are going, man, what can I do? Give me a big ministry. So you know what some of a big ministry is here? Just getting down on a kid's level every once in a while and just saying, man, I appreciate you. Amen? We've got every Sunday morning right here in this church, we've got three little boys up here singing their guts out. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but I'm having a hard time just sitting over here. I'm sitting there watching them. I'm watching little Morgan. I'm about to lose it. He gets in a different spot all the time, but man, he's worshiping God. Amen? And they're sitting there worshiping right in front of us. Praise God, and here we are. We're like, man, watch them. We should be like, man, I'm jealous. I want to be like them. Every once in a while, grab them and say, thank you for stirring me up. Thank you for loving Jesus and it being effectual and effective. I'm not going to get through all of them. Some of y'all are, amen, preacher. A servant will not be corrected by words as though he understandeth, he will not answer. There's just some people, I hate to tell you this, there's some people you can yell, you can scream, you can talk softly, you can talk nicely, you can do everything you can do, but there's just some people, even in ministry, that you've got to say, you won't be corrected, you won't change, so you must go. You're stopping the whole operation. We love you, God loves you, but we don't love you enough to let everybody die out with you. Hey man, that's a leadership thing. We need to be as leaders. We need to look around our classrooms. We need to look around our ministry. We need to look around our choir. And we need to go, look, this ain't about us. This ain't about us. If you got somebody on the job, I know, let me relate it over. If you got somebody at work who's a cancer at work, I can go to work with anybody. I can go to work on any job. In about 3 days, I'll go, nah, there it is. There's the problem. And as long as the boss keeps them around, it's going to be toxic. But if the boss ever walks over there and goes, man, I've corrected you, I've yelled at you, I've done everything I could possibly do, I'm going to send you home. Best thing I can do is I'll give you 3 or 4 references to find another job. Then all of a sudden, the next week you work, you're sitting there going, man, it's like I'm working with a whole group of different people. It's the same thing in ministry. It's the same thing in leadership. Sometimes you're just going to have to look at it and say, man, we love you, but you know what? How else can we say it? We ain't got no other stick. We can't beat you to death. Don't want to. Amen? Man, I'm glad. Aren't you glad this stuff's in there? I mean, I look at the Word sometimes. I'm sitting there going, man, is it me or I'm just being the weirdo? Am I just being strange? No. It's just like everywhere else in the world. Sometimes you just got to look at somebody and say, man, I've told you every way I could possibly tell you. I'll get one more and we'll be done. I promise. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than him. Goodness gracious, good. Somebody who knows all the answers, and they talk early, they talk in the middle, and they talk at the end. Amen? They've got all the answers. They know all the answers to all the questions. They never have any interruption. They've made it the judgment, the jury, and all. And they sit there and go, man, I don't have to hear anything from anybody about anything. Boy, that's scary. Amen? God, I'm a verbal person. I'm a wordsmith. Amen? About 60% of my job is words. I've got to be careful right here. Amen? When I hear a situation, I can't take it from another situation. And because I've been in those experiences, give you a bat, 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 that's the answer. Amen? I marinate every conversation I have now. Sometimes when I'm counseling somebody or I'm talking to somebody and it's getting heated or we're getting into a situation where it's kind of weird, you know what I'll say? Let me think about this for a day or two. Amen? Let me think about this for a day or two and get back to you, because right now I think I have all the answers, but there might be some variables that I'm not thinking about because me and you are having this conversation. And let me go. I'm going to wait off in this. I might as well. God's been doing this to me the last couple months, and it hurts. It hurts. I'm proud. Golly, I don't know how you say it. That's the best word, prideful. But I'm also like a very competitive, right? And I like to, like, if I feel like I'm right, I wanna win, right? I wanna be like, right? But God has been doing this for the last few months. I'll say some stuff, and I don't let that word marinate. I don't wait. I give a quick answer, hasty answer. The Bible says it's better for a foolish man who's willing to wait and learn, is better than a wise man who's too hasty. I mean, if a foolish man would sit there and go, well, let me ponder on that and I'll get back to you. And you know he's thicker than mud. Amen. You know what I'm saying? You met some people that are just thick. Some of y'all are looking at me right now. And I don't like the way you're looking at me. You know, they're not smart. They're not the sharpest. And you're just looking at them like, but they, if they go like this, they say, let me think about that. And I'm willing to learn before I give you an answer. They're smarter than the wise man who says, real quick, amen? Here's what God's been doing to me, and I hate this. I'll be real hasty in my words, and I'll say something to some people that are smart and intelligent and compassionate, and they've got the best interest for the church and whatever is dealing with, and I'll say something real hasty in my own wisdom and knowledge, which is not much. But then I'll get off to myself, and I'll start talking to God, and God is so faithful. He is. You know what he'll do? He'll say, hey, Kevin, do me a favor. Call them or text them and apologize for being ignorant and talking out of your mouth before you thought about it and apologize. That's a good person and you're overrunning them. Do it now. That's a whole long time. I could make the sentence out on my phone, but the send button seems like it just jams up. I'm just sitting there going, God, now is that the Lord? Because he says in the Bible, he said he can appear as an angel of light. I'm sitting there going, no, Lord. I don't want to be wrong. Amen? You might not even be wrong, but the way you're handling it is wrong. Some of y'all need to hear that. You might be right, but you can be right and handle it wrong. You can be right and handle it foolishly and do more damage to somebody that's literally on your side. Amen? Slow down sometimes. Tell somebody, I don't know the complete answer. Let me pray about it. Let me think about it. Let me consider all the information, and let me get back to you. You know what I found out when I've done that right there? A lot of times, if you'll wait, a lot of times the problem will solve itself. A lot of times that person will have to come back to you and say, you know what, I got to thinking about it and praying about it. That wasn't even a real issue. I'm just going to let it go. And there you are. You saved yourself some trouble in them too. Amen? Are these Proverbs helping y'all? Man, I'm going to be honest with you. I've been in a lot of services. I've preached a lot of places. Tonight, I felt the Spirit of God as heavy in this room tonight as I have anywhere else on the face of this planet preaching. I love this stuff. I love that we get to come in here on Wednesday night, and it's like going to revival. And we're preaching out of Proverbs. Nobody has a revival in Proverbs. They should. Go ahead, sis.